What's up, guys? It's your girl, Cyan, here back with another podcast. I haven't recorded a podcast in such a long time, yo. It's been a long while, but I'm gonna try now to get back into the role, get back into the thing, get back into this. Now, again, what my channel is gonna be about talking about pop culture, what's going on in the entertainment industry, and talking about what's going on in the wrestling industry. I'll be reviewing Raw, SmackDown, and AEW. AEW sometimes, I wanna do it all the time, but I'm definitely reviewing Raw, SmackDown. Cause since Raw season premiere, SmackDown is now on Fox, why not? I'm not gonna review last week, I'm gonna review this week. I'm gonna review the 7th of October on Monday, Raw, and I can't wait to review it. If you guys want to go in more detail about like what Raw is about, all that stuff, we can. But to get right in it, we're gonna talk about the draft. Now, the draft is on Friday this week, Friday for SmackDown. And today on Raw, we're just seeing basically a draft showcase, quote unquote, to see who will get chose, what will happen, all this mumbo jumbo drama. But personally, I think I know it's gonna go Raw. I think I know it's gonna go SmackDown. It seems obvious, even though, you know, SmackDown's in Fox now, and SmackDown is most likely gonna be the A show, working with a high level network. It's funny because now Fox is owned by Disney, and Disney owns Marvel. So it's just really funny how this all like aligns in one. It's really, really, really funny. So we're gonna start off with the first thing that came on. Rusev was in the ring. It was like type of dark match, and he was facing Randy Orton and King Baron. And out of nowhere, on the TitanTron, it was Lana and Bobby Lashley. If you didn't see last week's Raw, what was going on is that Rusev was part of Team Hogan team with Seth Rollins for Crown Jewel. I know, right? And Lana, Bobby Lashley came out. And he was standing there for like 5 minutes waiting for Lana to keep doing Lana. And she still didn't come out until she came for her cue. And Bobby Lashley was late. And Lana came out. And out of nowhere, they just started making out. I saw a tongue and everything. Her leg was all around his waist and everything. It was disgusting. But continue with more. Coming back to this week of Raw, we get to see like basically continuation or what left off from last week's Raw. Last week's Raw, it ended with Lana and Rusev, and this time it began with Lana and Rusev and Bobby Lashley. Now, everybody knows that Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff are running the individual shows, and we get to see Paul Heyman's type of wow factor, what he's doing, even though I don't know if he's trying to make like a Lita, Matt Hardy, and Edge thing, but that was real. That had real drama, that had real tears, that had real sex. So, for him to try something as such as this, Lana will take anything. Because she posts stuff on Twitter. Yet it matters how that she can't work. But Lana will take anything. And Rusev loves her. So, he'll probably take it with her as well. But getting into it, Lana was there just talking. And Bobby was basically saying that this is hers. She's mine. This and that. And then he starts slowly taking. Lana comes to the bed. Starts taking off her bra. Starts to go into bed and takes off her bra straps. And then like sex music or like jazzy music that literally had horns in it. Literally a trombone or a horn in it. So it's very funny to see what this storyline is going to become. Because Lana's not Total Divas no more. So I really don't know what to expect. But hopefully it's nothing of the intersect. Nothing that I'm not expecting. It's definitely going to build up to a Bobby Lashley versus Rusev. I think it's going to be like a Dolph Ziggler thing again. Like when Rusev was with Summer Rae and Dolph was with Lana. But then TMZ ruined it. Posting a picture of Lana and Rusev got married. I think it's going to be something like that. Even though it's like a triangle. It's going to be something as such. So that's what I think of the first segment of the night. Nothing much, nothing less. Now, we're moving on with the matches. The first match of the night was Dolph Ziggler versus Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode, the Raw Tag Team Champions versus the Viking Express. I think that's what they're called. I don't care. I don't know. So, the beginning of the match was mediocre. It had a very long, slow build, but the teams working together, and the experience of Ziggler and Bobby are getting much better than it was before. Putting them together was type smart and type stupid at the same time. I thought Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Robert Roode, they are both great individual athletes, and Dolph got a good deal with WWE, and they're both strong. Bobby Roode is amazing, and NXT, and Dolph Ziggler is a great talent that is not afraid to walk away because he knows he'll get better opportunities. But putting them together, giving them belts, and being a strong tag team, I agree very much with what the Viking Express. They were also mediocre in NXT. I heard they did some good stuff. I don't watch NXT like that, but I see them here and there when I need to. And even though it's going live, I'm still not gonna watch. I'm still gonna watch AEW probably because I can always watch it again on Thursday on Hulu. But it doesn't really give me like joy. The Viking Express, like, I feel like they have a good type of moveset, but they don't give you that wow factor, that shock, that value, that little catchphrase like a Bobby Roode, like glorious, or Dolph Ziggler doing the zigzag or the super kick, or, you know, being the show off. Like, you have those names for a reason. And I feel like Viking Express, they have they are type good wrestlers and they have good chemistry, but they don't give you that wow factor. So fans are not going to be behind that. They don't have that wow factor. You know what I mean? If you bring out wrestling moves like Asuka every damn night, people will bow down to you. But if you just bring out mediocre wrestling moves with all right chemistry and no really like stage presence or no not being performed, because wrestling is entertainment. Worldwide Wrestling Entertainment, that's what WWE stands for. And if you don't bring that WWE, you can't be part of WWE. But let's move on again. The selling's like a 6.5 out of 10. They sold the match well. It was definitely a slow build of the match, but the match started to get better close to the end, and both teams are getting better at their chemistry together for one another. Individual for, like, the teams are getting better for their chemistry together. Viking Warriors, Viking Express. Them two are definitely, how can I say, they're missing that je ne sais quoi, and not the je ne sais quoi, but I feel like they're missing that je ne sais quoi. So once they find it, I feel like they could build a team, because when the New Year first came out, I was like, who the hell is these people? I know Kofi Kingston is, he pretended to be Jamaican, no, he's not Jamaican, he's like part of the South, he's some part of Africa. And then we have Big E, AJ Lee, bodyguard, they have Xavier Woods, some dancing guy in NXT. So when they bring Xavier Woods up, rebuild Kofi Kingston, rebuild New Day, nobody's with them for a couple months, they were heel. But once people started getting to the, once they really went from like the church choir to the crazy crackhead black boys, they became a household name. The longest reigning tag team champion. I don't know if they're the most tag teams, I know they're the longest reigning. That's a fact. And they are still a dominant team, and they're a really good team with the Usos as well. And that's why I feel like teams like that, it takes a while for them to build that. But the thing about Viking Express is that they were already in NXT together, and building an NXT and being as a tag team, you should have the momentum, you should have the chemistry. But you don't, if you're not that wow factor by the time you go to the roster, it's going to be hard for you to get it then, because it's so many other teams that could outshine you just like that, like a Bobby and a Dolph outshine you just like that. But the selling of the match was 6.5. They actually did show a lot of good spots, and they sold it, both teams sold it well and individually as well. And the end, both teams are getting better at their chemistry, and so the Vikings won with a so what of a double team. They won like a double team, one distracted Dolph. I think Dolph got pinned Pin, Duff got pinned, yes, and one of them, 1, 2, 3, I don't remember their names because they're like unforgettable, but the match gets a 6 out of 10. Overall, something I make to the match is that the Viking Express used that Je Ne Sais Quoi and Bobby and Dolph. They don't need Je Ne Sais Quoi because individually, you know who Dolph Ziggler is when you hear that name in wrestling. You know who Robert Roode, Bobby Roode, you know that name from TNA and WWE. But as a team, I don't know that. I don't know what they are as a team, but as individuals, they definitely have built their own names. So keep trying, boys. Now for the next two matches, I'm gonna go quick with them, just because these matches are just basically part of the draft showcase, and I'm going more detail with that in a few. But before I do, I did explain early in the segment that we're having the draft. The draft starts on Friday on SmackDown, and then it continues next week on Monday on Raw. So hopefully you get to see it. But the draft showcase now basically is, it's actually not a thing, but it's quote-unquote with my hands, doing air quotes, where this is supposed to show off what they've done and what they can give to, like, the general manager and the commissioner, all that nonsense, even though they probably know who they want on their brands from weeks ago. You know what I mean? That's just a quick thing I want to say, just give you, because these two matches are basically our draft showcase. So, first is Alex Vax versus the Singh Brothers, the Hollywood Singh Brothers. I don't know what happened to Jinder Mahal. He just disappeared. He was champion, then he just left, whatever, got kicked in the boot. Singh Brothers are basically the thing. They were like his little mic people, and now they're on 204 Live, and they turned to Hollywood Singh Brothers, and Aleister Black was doing a couple, like, Titantron promos, and they were quite actually good. And Singh, and he basically said, if you want the Black, come get it. Like, Aleister Black, if you want me, come get me. So the Singh Brothers came out. They accepted Aleister Black's open challenge. They did a little segment. They did a little catchphrase, whatever, because they're Hollywood now. I don't watch 205 Live, so I wouldn't know. But it's on Hulu too, but I don't want to watch that. So Aleister Black came out and beat them up so quick in like a 2 minute and 35 second match. Like, it was quick. The Singh Brothers accepted Aleister Black open challenge, and it was a simple match. All he did, it was a two on one match. Sorry, I'm reading my notes, it's messy. It was a 2-on-1 match, and all he did is put one of them in a submission hold, and a submission hold around the neck, and the match overall gets a 3 out of 10. Aleister Black did a lot of work. He hit him with one of, like, his signatures, one of, like, his kicks. I don't really know Aleister Black that well. I know his presence, and I know his name, but I don't know him. Hopefully I get to know him from being on the main roster. So far he hasn't really been a known presence. Hopefully I get to know him, because he damn sure can be. The fans love him. They eat it up. So the match gets a 3 out of 10, definitely. But the build up of the match, like the two Trenton Taunton promos and the Singh Brothers, get a 5.5 out of 10. I feel like Aleister Black built himself up and getting, then he made an open challenge for the showcase, and then the Singh Brothers did a little thing and put Aleister Black over, so it gets a 5.5. Now moving on to Lucha House Party versus the OC. Part of Lucha House Party is two people from 205 that I don't know much about, so I don't know the names. I read them next time. And my boy Kalisto. Kalisto was so over in like 2016, 2015 when Alberto was there. He was so over with Sin Cara, but I don't know. Sorry if you could hear that. My nose is running. And the OC has my boy Carl AJ Styles, Luke Gallows, and Carl Anderson. Now, preferably, they doing my boy AJ dirty right now. Even though Stone Cold Steve Austin, say that AJ Styles is like the best wrestler right now in the world. That's a big something level from a man of steam, of Stone Cold reputation in the wrestling industry, especially in WWE. So, for them to know about AJ like that is dirty. But it is a showcase. Now, off the bat, the match started off quick, and the fans, and I love, like, the lucha thing. I love the luchas. They are so quick. They're so flexible. They're so everywhere. Like, the lucha, the, like, lucha libidors, and, like, the people, and, like, the rest of the Joshis, and, like, the wrestling. Like, I love, like, Akira Tozawa, Kento. Like, I love Katsurata Shobai. I love Shibata. Like, I just love it. It's just really into it. And I just love the luchas because they're just really, like, really good. I like the moves that they do. And the match started off quick and started off good. It was type. The match was really, like, flowy. It was, like, a back and forth for each thing. Like three hot tags. And on AJ's part, it was very flowy on AJ's part. Like, when AJ Styles was doing his match, doing his little ones, he was definitely flowy. With Carl Anthony Gallows, it was somewhat, but it wasn't as flowy as when AJ was doing it with Kalisto or any of the other guys. But it was great and big, and they had a big move. One of the big spots was when Kalisto and two others were on one rope, the top rope, and they all did flips. I can't believe three guys could fit on one top rope. That's crazy. And they all did big flips and moves, and I love how the teams build off one another, like a tag at a tag. It just kept flowing, just kept going back and forth and building off each other. So this match, I get it a 6.5 out of 10. I love the flowiness. I love how it builds off one another. So it's gonna be quick, but this is not the longest segment ever. Okay. Last but not least, the Authors of Pain, they did this little segment they did last week explaining who they are and building themselves up for probably the draft after the draft next week to see who they are, what they offer, and what they do. So the Authors of Pain, or the AOP, give a lame, you know, I can't believe I wrote this, a lame, I can say that word, promo about their lives and what they're gonna do to Raw, how they're gonna end it, they're gonna take food off their table, they're gonna take your money, and take your job. So, that was going on for Raw, and that was, like, the quick showcase match and stuff. Like, there's also, like, a little more to go off there, too. But it's, like, a quick little rundown of, like, two matches in, like, a segment. So, there you go. Let's move on to Miz TV. Okay, so I'm getting down to close to the end of the show. Now we're going probably soon, late mid, about to be third hour of Raw. Well, when I start falling asleep, because I usually don't last all of Raw because I have a thing called school, but I usually last enough for my Raw. So, what's going on in Raw is, I just screamed through the mic. What's going on right now is we're getting ready for Miz TV, and Miz TV is having their guests Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. Now they are going over what happened at their Hell in the Cell matches. Let's go over what happened with Becky. Becky and Sasha Banks, my favorite girl match. Their match was literally, well, a lot of critics say perfection. It went a great way. It showed Sasha's character. It showed Becky the Man character. And it was really just a build off of the people and what they had to offer. And I enjoyed it very much. Now, that's not the same for the Charlotte and Bayley. Charlotte and Bayley could wrestle. But they didn't know what to do with Bayley. So if you know what to do with Bayley, you'd get to Charlotte. And now Charlotte is a 10-time champ. I'm about to call them. Well, these women, they said some mean junk in the Miz TV stuff, and I loved everything I was eating. I'll eat the palm of Becky and Charlotte's hand, because when they're two right together, it's magic. It's magic. You know, why don't you please end it so? Okay, let me stop. I can sing. But they're going to basically happen in their Hell in a Cell matches, and Becky talks about how Becky, so they go back and forth about their matches, and Becky basically wants Miz talk about how Charlotte's a champion. Becky literally tells Charlotte,
Becky does show that she basically made the SmackDown Women's title relevant. And she said Becky and everybody else made it irrelevant, but I made it because she was the first SmackDown Women's Champion. So she made it definitely, she definitely brought it to life and made it relevant from her reign being Becky two-time champ. But then Charlotte come back with a strong comeback, basically saying how I made Becky irrelevant. Like team PCB, everybody knew that Paige, Charlotte, and Becky. And Charlotte was like, I made you irrelevant. I don't think, so you're talking to the queen, the 10-time champ. Even though Becky said that, even though you're a 10-time champ, your reigns don't mean nothing. They weren't a meaningful reign, such as my, like, her reigns lasted, like, where her, like, her and Sasha, their reigns, they just give back the belt back. Even though her and Sasha feud was amazing, they just gave the belt back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The reigns didn't really last that long. So it does make sense because at least she was like a three-time champ between her and Sasha, and the reigns did not last that long. So her reigns are not meaningful, such as Becky's. And I totally understand, but Charlotte said a 10-time champ is a new champ. She beat my girl Trish, tearing up from 6 to 10, so 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. She's 4-time more of a champion than Trish. Not to say she did beat the queen, and now she is literally the queen. So, but yeah. And overall, they just raise their belts in their face, and then comes out Asuka and Kairi Sane. Now these ladies, I don't know what they were saying. They were speaking their Japanese language. Nobody was understanding what they were saying, but all I know is that they're making fun of Becky and Charlotte arguing how they're, and they basically talk about how they work together at the argue. I don't speak a lot of Japanese, but I did hear them say a 10-time champ, and she was like, Becky and Charlotte, blah, blah, blah. And basically, Becky had problems with Asuka because Asuka beat Becky, and Becky was basically like, I want my ones because how you gonna beat me? At the time, Asuka was like undefeated, so like, you really could not beat her, Becky. You really could not beat her. But it makes sense since Asuka was just like speaking Japanese. So then now it transitions and Asuka and Kairi just run down the ring, just run down the ring, and they're just fighting. And they still have all the chairs, still have the carpet from Miss TV in there. So we go to ad break, come back from the ad break, boom. Match starts, bell literally rings right when when ads cut off and back to regular programming. So it's Becky and Charlotte versus the Kabuki Warriors. Oi! Now, they had a fight that started before Miss TV, but the stuff was still in the ring. And when the match started off with a considerable amount of heat, it had a great amount of heat, but Becky wanting ones with Asuka and, you know, Becky and Charlotte having their own thing and Kairi. And basically, Asuka turned heel at the pay-per-view, beating Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. I don't know if they have the name yet, but I'm not sure. I think they do have a name, but I forgot it. Okay, the match started for Akamati, and the Kabuki Warriors were very fast and had great chemistry working together. They were just flying off each other, doing their beautiful like tag maneuvers together. It was very, very good. But soon after, Charlotte takes over the match before commercial break. But Asuka stops her before she gets to Liv. It's like Charlotte got tagged, got a hot tag. And Asuka got a hot tag. And Charlotte's doing her thing. But before commercial break, Charlotte's about to go off. But as soon as she's about to go off, Asuka got her. So the match was going back and forth. But then when it was Becky's turn, Asuka spit that green stuff in her face. Like, Becky was literally rubbing her eyes because Asuka spit in her face, and she had the little girl sit by the barricades and rub it out her eyes because Asuka spit that stuff all around her where she pulled it out from. I don't know if the refs give it to her, I don't know if the announcers give it to her, but somebody gives Asuka this green, ugly mist and spits it at people. She spit that in my face. I would slap Asuka. I would slap Asuka. I would slap Asuka. But yeah, Asuka got this green, nasty mist. And, so it's. And then the match basically ends with the Kabuki Warriors. I don't know if it ended with a DQ or it ended off, but I forgot. The match ended, and the
Alexa and Nikki come out running. I want their ones and beat up the Kabuki Warriors, and the Kabuki Warriors retreat, or they at least leave. So that's basically the match there. Now to end it off. It's been fun talking to you guys. It really has, but a sis is tired. Even though I didn't review the whole show, I reviewed the relevant points, and I won't forget that Seth Rollins' weak promo with him and The Fiend and Hell in the Cell match. It was trash, garbage, burn the can. It's trash. How you build up such match such as it, but you give The Fiend and Seth a lot to work with, but then you just want to end it on such a low note. It's disgusting, and I despise it. To tell Seth Rollins is the man, and to say Bray Wyatt has a dimension of characters, and he's even selling the character outside of WWE. I've seen interviews of him doing stuff promoting Hell in the Cell, and he's in his character instead of just his regular self. He's in his character promoting the show as the Firefly Funhouse host. But moving on, I want to end it on a high note. Hopefully I reviewed the show good enough and did what I had to do as a host or whatever I am right now. My podcast, I will review SmackDown. It might not get up the next day because I am going to Canada, Niagara Falls. But hopefully it will get up this weekend for sure. I don't know if we'll get on the same day. This one will. Hopefully it does. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Don't forget to clap for your sis. Follow Issa and stay tuned for all my things. Forget to follow my Facebook and my Instagram on all. And follow all of those amazing things there. And I'll see you guys for another podcast. See you in the next one.